Hello and welcome to Your Sparkly Brand. We're here to inspire and empower entrepreneurs just like you. This podcast is all about delivering no fluff, high value content that helps you to grow your business. It doesn't matter if you have no budget and you're still DIYing everything on your own. We are giving you the tips, tools, and strategies that you need to build a sparkly empire. I'm Megan Gersh, your branding and marketing expert. And I'm here with my co-host, the copywriting queen, Lauren Tassi. Hey, Lauren, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Megan?
Good. So before we'd like to start the episode, we'd like to talk about our sparkly moment of the week, which is like a little win or a celebration. Lauren, do you have something that you want to share?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I think it's a win. It feels weird, but I think I feel like I'm in like the eye of the storm right now or something with my business. I feel like it's been pretty clear. If you listen to our podcast, I've been super busy lately in a good way. And I've brought on some team members and I've had a couple of days now where at like noon, I'm just like, okay, so what do I do? Like, I feel like my systems are working. I have people working. It's like, yeah, I got stuff due tomorrow, but I'm okay today. So I think all of my systems are working. My team is helping me. And I'm just sort of going, oh, maybe this is what I do now.
Oh my God. That must be like the best feeling.
It feels a little, I'm a little insecure about it, but I think it's okay. Like, I'm just like, okay, I keep checking. I'm like, oh no, that's not due till then. That's not due till then. We're good.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. What's making you feel sparkly these days?
So I've actually been experimenting a bit with longer form content on TikTok, which has been a fun and interesting experiment just because the platform is kind of built around short form content. So I've been experimenting with videos that are longer than a minute, even longer than 2 minutes, which is like, in my mind, is like brain boggling, to be honest. But I had one mini viral video that from one of those longer form pieces of content. And like, I'm just trying to like take everything in that I'm learning on like, you know, just putting a lot of pieces out there that are longer form just so that I can learn from the data. And yeah, I mean, the viral moment was pretty fun. And you know, got a lot of traffic to my page, even got some bookings from it. And so that's kind of making me feel sparkly.
That's awesome. But also, just so you know, this is long form content.
Yes, that's true. That's very, very true.
You are, you know, I mean, I understand on TikTok, it's a whole world of people who are just have no attention span whatsoever, but you know, you've been doing it anyway.
Yeah. The thing about like posting long form content on TikTok is that there has to be no fluff. What I'm learning about like the longer form content, like imagine like when you watch a YouTube video, there's at least like animations and like little like B-roll that like pops in. It's like not that way on TikTok. It's like value, value, value. And if you do not deliver that like back to back to back, people scroll.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into our topic for this episode. We are talking about how to write product descriptions that sell. This is my wheelhouse. This is how I got started as a copywriter. This is what I still do for clients, what I teach other people how to do. So I'm excited to share some of my tips and tricks today. I'll start with, I write for a lot of fashion brands. I got my start in fashion. So a lot of my examples might be sort of clothing related, but they really can translate to anything that's sort of a lifestyle product. You know, if you're selling plungers, maybe not necessarily so much, unless it's like a really chic high-end plunger. But this, you know, I think that our audience is probably people that are selling very much lifestyle products. So I will start by saying that, but product descriptions are so important. I think people don't realize that because photos are great, right? A standard, you need to have great photos. But beyond that, the selling happens in the product descriptions. It's what makes people feel the clothing on their skin. It's what makes people imagine the vase in their house is the product descriptions. It takes them from looking at something on a screen to envisioning it in their lives. You have to convey the way it feels, the way it fits, and the whole entire experience of having this product in your life. So that's the why. Let me get into some of my formula for writing product descriptions. And the first one, we always say this, it's like always comes down to this, know your audience, right? We're not just writing to like the world or all the women in the world. We are writing to someone specific. So, you know, if you've done your customer research, if you've done your ideal client work, Meg has a workbook on that we'll put a link to. So once you can get that sort of dream client, that dream customer nailed down in her persona, you can write to her. You know, this is where sometimes it seems silly, like, oh, we give her a name and she has, you know, 2.5 kids and a dog and she works in marketing or whatever. But having someone specific in your mind to write to makes it so much easier. And some things to think about when it comes to specifically fashion related stuff is like, who is her style icon? Like, who is she following on Instagram? Instagram? You know, is it Kim Kardashian or is it Avril Lavigne or some grungy kind of look? You know, that like something, somebody like that is going to respond differently to different words than the Avril Lavigne fan. What are some, like, what is she dealing with in her life right now? Is she a new mom who getting dressed is hard because she's not comfortable in her body? Where does she see herself in 10 years? How can this outfit or this, you know, bar of soap help her achieve her goals? And it sounds like kind of silly and ridiculous, but this really taps into what takes something from just like, it's made with cocoa butter, to giving someone an entire experience and building like a whole brand out of it. And so this next point is to have a brand voice. This is, again, we're looking at who your customer is and speaking directly to them. What words does she want to hear? What words make her feel comfortable? What words make her go, yes, that's me. I want to be a part of this. Your brand's personality is how you communicate with your customers. It's your word choice. It's the tone you use. It's the cadence you use, right? Are we using short, snappy sentences because she's super busy and she doesn't have time to read it all? Or does she like, maybe she's a reader and she loves a little more flowery, longer prose? You want to tell a story with your words and include the vision and process you took to make this product. And so that's where we get into making a connection, right? Connecting your product and your process to her life. And we're just using the pronoun her to make it easier. So you want to get the reader excited. And this is where like having a hook at the beginning, something a little snappy, something a little, you know, that makes you go, oh yeah, this isn't just, you know, another Amazon product description or something that, you know, we kind of get immediately bored by. I'll put a link into the show notes. I have a whole little free workshop on how to write product descriptions that sell. I call them product stories because we're really telling a story. And in that I have like there's a little video where I show you three very similar, like they're like white floral dresses. And one is $250 and one is like $20. And we go through the product descriptions and you can see exactly what the difference is, right? The $250, like the fabric is the same. They look very similar, but what's different is the way the brand is approaching it. So if you're interested in that, take a look at the show notes. You can literally see, and I do it with home goods too. So you don't just want to sell the product. You want to sell emotion. This is about somebody feeling it in their lifestyle. Or how are they going to feel when they grab that bag and go to brunch with their friends and they go, I'll go, oh, look at that purse. That's so awesome. You know, it's part of feeling confident and feeling important. And these are like the identities we tap into when we're buying something, right? So you want to evoke emotion, right? And find out what matters to your audience. This is where that work, that upfront work about thinking about what's keeping you up at night can help connect with your audience. Shopping online can feel very transactional and people miss the excitement of, you know, feeling the clothes when you're walking through the store or smelling the candles in the store. So that's where the words have to replace that tactile sense experience.
So when people approach you to write these product stories, are they approaching you to also integrate the SEO kind of component into it? Or is that like a completely separate thing? Because I feel like there might be a little bit of a challenge there when it comes to integrating the keywords that they're trying to hit and also trying to evoke that emotion.
Yeah. So it depends on the product, right? And if we're talking about most of the examples I've given here today, clothes, candles, a purse, that kind of thing. We also aren't writing 300 word product descriptions. It's just unnecessary. You're going to lose people. They're not going to read it. So part of SEO is that it needs to be included in text that is somewhat lengthy, right? So a 50 word product description, if we're dropping the keyword, you know, yellow leather purse or something three times, is going to be a terrible product description because you're repeating the word. It's also, because it's so short, isn't really going to do much for SEO. It might help a little bit in the long run, but you kind of have to decide what your purposes, right? Are you focusing on SEO or are you focusing on writing great product descriptions? And then that comes back to like the customer journey, right? So I recently did some products for a hair care line, some descriptions for a hair care line to sell on Ulta. And that's where those keywords were super important, right? Because somebody who's shopping for shampoo on Ulta is ready to buy, doesn't really, you know, is like, okay, well, I need, you know, a purple shampoo for blonde hair. That's so much more important there versus somebody who might just be searching online for purple shampoo recommendations. They're probably not ready to buy, but they're looking for recommendations. So it comes down to what's your goal. If it's for your own website and you're really building your brand, then SEO keywords in product descriptions for simple products aren't going to get you very far.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Awesome. So we talked about evoking emotion and now we want to paint a picture. We have beautiful product images. We have people in clothes. If you have clothes, having people or a hand holding some soap at some point, it's just having that helps us understand how the product's used and the scale of the product as well. So we have our beautiful product descriptions. We want to use words to support that. We want to describe the fabric or the material as if you were touching it. You know, I think sometimes, especially fashion designers, people that work in clothing can get a little caught up in the technical aspects of fabric. You know, especially I see it so much in like activewear because there's so much like the different material they make out of leggings gets so like technical and everybody's innovating every day trying to make it better. But it's really like, what does that mean to the customer? So it wicks away sweat. Okay, great. Or maybe it's got cooling fibers. That's much more useful than like 95% spandex, 5% blah, blah, blah. Most consumers, that doesn't mean anything to them. And another great thing to do is to give style or use tips, right? If you're buying a vase, oh, it looks great in a sunny corner, or perfect for long stem red roses. Just some guidance as to how to use the product, even though we all know how to use a vase, right? You either put flowers in it or you don't put flowers in it, but just that helps build the story and put something in their minds. And that's another way you can use detail that connects with the customer, right? Do they like roses or do they like peonies? Pick one, and that'll help them tap into their identity. Somebody does like peonies more than they like sunflowers. And so what's your audience, right? You want to show the worth of your product and how versatile it is too. So if it can do all these things, if it's a purse and it's got all these little pockets and you got somewhere for your phone and somewhere for your keys, show that, show it in a picture, and then talk about how you won't spend hours digging through your endless purse to find your keys because we have this pocket. And so there's a couple of things I do want to say you should never do when it comes to product descriptions. The first one is to copy and paste from the manufacturer's website whatever product descriptions they have. They're usually not written for the consumer. They're written for the wholesaler. And then also it's going to kill your SEO, right? We might not make a lot of gains in SEO when it comes to product descriptions, but we can definitely hurt our website's credibility if everybody is repurposing these. And I see it a lot. I noticed it a lot in like baby clothing. I was working in that niche for a little bit, and it was, I don't know why people think that's okay. Don't do it. Just rewrite it. They're so easy. It's not that much. There's not that much there. And baby clothes is so much about safety and like comfort and making mom feel better about the choice she's making. And then the other thing is to save the boring stuff for the bullets, right? And this is where we talk about 95% spandex versus 2% cotton, where we can talk about actual, you know, measurements, because most people aren't interested in that unless that's really important to them. I always look at fabric content, but it means something to me. You can also put the care information there, you know, oh, it's machine washable, or, you know, dust with a damp cloth, all of that sort of things that like people might need that little bit more information to buy. We don't want it to get bogged down in the product description or the product story that is connecting with the customer, evoking emotion, and telling the story behind your brand.
So I had a question. So I know on the last episode that we did, you talked a little bit about brand voice guides. Is that something that you recommend getting set up first before you jump into product descriptions?
I think that it depends where you're at in your business. If you are brand new, doing it by yourself, you have two candles to sell and you don't have a budget, it can be difficult. You also kind of have to understand your customer too. And so if you're at that very beginning point, you might need to find your brand voice a bit. So one great way to do that is to look at what other brands are doing. And it doesn't have to be your industry. It doesn't even have to be like, if you're selling candles, you can look at what, you know, some influencer on Instagram is doing and just, oh, I like the way she talks. I feel like her customer is similar to my customer, and just sort of start to pay attention to things. But if you're doing this all on your own, I wouldn't let that stop you from writing some product descriptions, just because I always believe that like imperfect action is better than, you know, waiting around trying to get all your pieces in place.
For sure. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And is there like an ideal length that you kind of shoot for when it comes to product descriptions?
Yeah. So it depends on the product and it depends on the brand. I would say if you have, I don't want to say high quality, but if you have a product that you can talk a little bit about the process behind it. So I worked with like a home goods company that was always had like little makers, or it was like, we make blankets in Scotland and they've been making them there for 200 years. When you have something you can talk about like that, then I think 100-120 words is great. If you don't necessarily have so much story behind the product, it might be 40-80 words for something like clothing, candles, you know, all the examples I've given here. We don't want to overdo it in terms of like the most flowery, where you're just like, why am I still reading this? It feels like a magazine article. So there's a balance, and it depends on your brand. It depends on your customer. It depends on your product.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Are there brands out there that you have seen that are just really killing it in product descriptions? You want to like shout any out that like people can look at as like examples for like, this is how you do it?
Yeah. So I haven't, and this is in the free workshop that I have, and I actually haven't looked at what they've been doing lately, but Reformation is always like a great example of a brand voice. And I feel like I need to like actually get a newer example, because this is a reference I use on the phone with clients too, is they know their customer. And it's one of those brands where like when their email lands in your inbox, you know who it's from just based on the subject line. They just have their attitude down. They have who they're talking to, and they know their customer. So check out what they're doing. I'm assuming they're still doing the same thing they were doing, because they're kind of known for that. But that's definitely one. And they do it in a short amount of words too.
So now I want to hear from our listeners. I am curious to hear how closely you look at product descriptions before you click add to cart. Are you kind of like Sherlock Holmes, where you need to know every single detail before you buy? Or are you kind of like on the fence, like it kind of depends on the product? Or do you never read product descriptions? If you're listening to this on Spotify, please drop your answer in the poll response. Or if you're watching this on social media, then drop it in the comments.
So obviously, I'm going to answer this question, and I'm obviously the Sherlock Holmes, but that's my nature and my job. Where are you, Meg? I'm so curious.
I kind of fall in the middle. I feel like it depends on the product. Like, obviously, if I'm buying like ballpoint pens or something like that, I don't need to read the product description. But if it's something more tailored and custom that I'm getting, like, I like to read them.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is our episode for today. So I just want to remind you that good copy is so important, and that's what's going to seal the deal after you have your beautiful product images. So if you want to see or learn more about creating captivating product stories, head on over to the show notes and you can find a link to my free workshop, Double Your Sales with Product Stories. And that's where I go over sort of the examples I talked about. There's a checklist that you can follow along with how to write these product stories, and that'll get you all set, ready to go. So thank you so much for listening. Until next time, stay sparkly.